Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello, and welcome to True Romance. I'm Devin Leary.
And I'm Carolina Barlow. You guys. Did you guys hear what happened?
Something crazy happened.
Devin, where were you the moment you found out that Joe Biden was going to be our next president and Kamala Harris was going to be our next vice president? What were you doing?
I was in the shower. So obviously I kept feeling like it's going to happen when I'm doing something else, like when I look away from the TV. I had a crazy job that I was working this week that the hours were long, so that was helpful. But other than that, I was just glued to the TV and I was like, it's just going to happen when I'm doing something. Like, I'm not going to be watching the TV. So I was in the shower and I had actually just turned the shower off and I heard Matt, my boyfriend, say, "It's happening." So I freaked out. Then the best, most cathartic thing was that then we like ran out to his balcony, humble brag, and there was just people in the streets in Brooklyn cheering, dancing. I looked directly across the street and this woman was hanging out of her window saying, "They just called it." Like, she was talking on the phone to her mom or someone and she was like, "They just called it. Look on the TV right now. They just called it." People are setting off like fireworks.
That makes me cry.
I was sobbing. So I'm in my towel, like outdoors in the public, and I'm sobbing. And then like I called my mom and my mom was potting plants, I guess. So could you be more idyllic than that? But she was potting plants. And I said, "Mom, you don't have to pot plants anymore because women can be president now." No, I'm kidding. But I was like, "Mom, guess what?" And she's like, "What? What? Wait, I'm not, wait, I have to get inside. I have to turn the TV on. I'm going to call you back." So that was my experience. What was your experience?
My experience was scrolling until the news popped on my feed on Twitter. I did not stop scrolling until I saw NBC News has called it Joe Biden is going to be the president-elect. I don't remember the wording, but it didn't even set in to me. We live on a really quiet street, so there was no parade, which was unfortunate. And there's a lot of small children who live on my block, so I didn't want to wake any of them up. But I didn't even feel anything because I was so relieved and shocked. Like, shocked that it finally happened, relieved that we didn't have to live through the "when are they going to call it" anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we turn on the TV. I'm doing fine. Then, you know, a picture of Kamala comes up as a little girl. Okay, things are starting to get emotional. Mm-hmm. Mention of her mother, Shamala. Okay, this is going to be a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. Biden, hearing about the tragedies his family goes through. At this point, I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. then on Devin and I are on a group thread with all of our friends in New York. They're sending pictures of themselves cheering out the window, crying. At this point, I just burst into tears.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you guys are probably feeling the same way we are, just overwhelmed with relief.
We went to Central Park and there were just every 5 minutes, people would just start cheering. Like someone would just go like, woo. And then everyone in the park was cheering. This guy like rode by on like this like scooter moped thing and pointed to like a group of kids that were playing on this tree near us. And he was like, it's for them. It's for the little ones. They're going to have a better world.
No, why are you doing this to me right now?
But also it was kind of funny because there was this really big group of like most like imagine the most like basic looking white girl brunch picnic you can imagine was like sitting there and they were like, yes, yes. Okay, amazing. Yes, but even
and that little girl was me.
It's like even that I was like, whatever. Yeah, if you're as long as you agree with us, then you're in. But anyway, it was just amazing. And then I fell asleep at like 1:30 in the morning, and people were still.
I love it.
Cheering, honking, screaming, and it was.
It's such a repudiation to his presidency and to his supporters. Like, watch, the whole world is going to celebrate you being taken down.
Right. And also, like, it's perfect because Trump is a narcissist. Like, there could not be anything more hurtful to him than everyone laughing at him and cheering for him being gone. Like, the people outside the White House was, like, my favorite
thing. God bless
thing.
You. Yeah.
God bless Patriots. You because I was like, this is actually his nightmare. And it's like, you might have a select few Nazis, but everyone else fucking hates your guts. Fuck you.
We have the Von Trapp family, except we have thousands of little children in their curtain uniforms giving you the middle finger down Pennsylvania Avenue. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about the love lives of both Joe and Kamala. I obviously not the boring stuff, not that then they fell in love and they got together, but there's a few moments that I thought were so amazing and so sweet. So Jill and Joe were on a kind of semi-blind date together. Joe's brother said, I met this woman. I think you'll really like her. And Joe wasn't interested in dating because he was a widower who had two sons, but he saw a picture of her, really wanted to take her out. He calls her up. She admittedly had a date that night. And said that she called the guy. She was like, I have a friend in town. And then they went on a date together. Joe says it was love at first sight. And he said, when can I see you next? And she said, I don't know. When are you free? And he said, I'm busy Friday, Thursday. How about tomorrow? And she was like, you just showed your hand, buddy.
Aww.
And then Douglas and Kamala. Douglas Emhoff, who I think is adorable. He was divorced. He had two kids. He met her at, I believe, a fundraiser. It might have just been some sort of luncheon. And he told her friend that he thought she was really hot, which is very modern and cute. Mm-hmm. And then they went on a date. And he said after their first date, he just sent her an email that just said, I really like you.
Okay.
And the cool thing about that, they're a very modern family. Kamala is friends with Douglas's ex-wife. His ex-wife even, she's like a creative PR woman and she has her own company and even offered to help with Kamala's presidential campaign when Kamala was running.
That's a big person. Because imagine your ex is like, okay, so my new, first of all, look at my new wife. Just that alone, I would be like, wow, fuck me, because she's so hot. But to be that big of a person to be like, okay, I'll help you. I'll help you try to save America from the worst presidency of its time.
His ex-wife spoke about it in an article about how everyone was like, you're okay with your, you know, ex-husband dating. And she said, when I found out that my husband was dating the Attorney General of California, the only thing I thought was, this is so cool. I hope you don't mess it up.
Right.
But I also watching his acceptance speech last night, I was so moved seeing Douglas's daughter on stage, you know, Kamala's stepdaughter. And Douglas had his hand on his daughter's shoulder. And I was like, this is a moving moment for them as a whole family.
Yeah.
And she's going to have this experience as, you know, being the second daughter or whatever the lingo is. We also, as someone said, won't have to know that much about the kids because they're not going to have high profile government jobs right. that they are not qualified for.
Right.
So we have that to look forward to as well.
I also love Douglas Emhoff's Instagram because my friends, Anais and Tori, from my best friends from college, and I have like this obsession with people of a certain age group using social media and like the errors that they make. Like he posted like a t-shirt that someone else made on Etsy or something, and it was like a t-shirt that had Kamala, Elizabeth Warren, Hillary, and like three other potential presidential candidates that were women, and said some like cheesy phrase about like women belong in the White House. Like he posted a screenshot of that. And I was like, wait, but you're actually married to one of them. So you could just post like, he's like, this is cool. And like, or like found this online.
I love that so much.
And I love it.
He probably comments.
Yeah. Like he posts all these like pictures from the campaign. And he's like, go Kamala. Like I'm with you. Love you. Which I think is so cute. So during the debates, like obviously the two candidates in each debate, their significant others will come onto the stage, and both presidential and vice presidential debates, it just was insane to see Trump and Melania, his mail order cold soulless mannequin of a wife, and this monster like rapist
who gives a fuck about Christmas decorations.
Yeah, like them standing next to each other and her literally like recoiling every time he even breathes on her, and then seeing Joe and Jill, who have like so much just pure visible love between them and how proud they are of each other. And then yeah. I mean, don't even get me started on Pence and his wife versus Kamala and Doug. Like actually just sick, disgusting. Like, I don't even want to picture it in my brain right now. So I'm just like, I want to look at these people.
Yeah.
I want to watch these people.
There's only been a few times in history where we've seen a strong female political figure have a male partner that backs her up.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton has had a husband that has failed her multiple times.
And who's a piece of shit. I'll go on record.
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg was married to Martin Ginsburg, and that is a really beautiful love story. And as she put it, my career was always just as important to him as his career was important to me. And we see that with Douglas and Kamala, and the media really likes to focus on it. And Roxane Gay was talking on Twitter about, oh my God, are we going to hear a bunch about how Kamala is this amazing wife? But I really think of it as an exciting time for women to see what a real husband and a real man looks like, in terms of, yeah, you can want to be vice president. That's not unattractive.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this woman is completely content in her love life. This man obviously adores her, and he's going to be there with her. And at the gay pride parade in San Francisco, she's wearing a bedazzled rainbow jacket, and he's wearing a shirt that says Kamala in rainbow letters. And you want to find a man who will wear your name in rainbow letters at the gay pride parade. I don't know how else to say it.
He's taking back the trend of wearing your significant other's name on a t-shirt, which was previously destroyed by Tom Hiddleston. But
I forgot about
that. Has anyone heard from Tom Hiddleston since? No.
No.
The Hugh Zeher, as Jim Carrey said on SNL. Matt's friend, this guy Anthony, tweeted, so that was the payoff for having Jim Carrey on SNL. Now I get it.
I really wanted that to be better than it was, that whole ride. Last love story, which I think is so cute, before we get to our guest, and that is that Joe was dating Jill in, God, it must have been the late 70s, and his two sons, Hunter and Beau, ran into the bathroom while Joe was brushing his teeth, and they said, Dad, I think it's time we marry Jill. And he proposed to her five times, and the first four times she said no. And she says it was because she loved the boys, and she needed to know. She said it wasn't just my heart on the line, and she needed to know that it was going to be for the long haul. And he said he finally asked her. This is very reminiscent of the end of Walk the Line when Johnny Cash is proposing to June, which is one of my favorite YouTube videos of all time. And Joe finally said, here's the deal. Are you going to marry me? And she just looked up and said, okay, which is so much better than Claire and Dale's proposal on The Bachelorette last week.
Yeah, okay, yes, but I will say that, like,
don't advocate for that couple right now.
Something's wrong with me. Like, you bring up Walk to Remember. I, like, have an involuntary body reaction where I'm like, oh, I'm crying. Like, I don't think any of this is good. It's very bizarre. This woman is saying, like, look at my ring. Look at that. My hand's gonna be heavy now. Like, I'm like, that's terrible. And actually, your behavior is terrible. And his behavior is terrible. And, like, I just don't think any of this is good. And yet I cry. And yet I can't stop it. So it's like something, same with Walk to Remember. It's like, I don't agree with, like, this fixing this guy because you're dying. What? But I'm like, yet I sob. We're going to be right back. We have a special guest today to discuss the sometimes triggering topic of middle school. We'll be right back.
I want true romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to True Romance. Guys, our guest today is a comedian, actress, and writer who has performed all around the country and was recently named one of Comedy Central's Up Next Comedians and a TBS comic to watch. You may have seen her on HBO's High Maintenance. Ever heard of it? Home Box Office? HBO Max's Love Life and HBO's Crashing, or read her work in the New York Times, The New Yorker, and McSweeney's. Please welcome to the show. Julia Shiplett.
Hi, ladies.
How are you?
I feel like Devin and I were reading each other's intro at the same time, being like, okay, are we going to be loud or are we going to be cute? Are we going to be loud or are we going to be cute? And at the end of the day, I feel like we went cute.
I think you're both.
Julia, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here.
How's your quarantine going?
Oh, it's a real roller coaster every day. I mean, it's like Groundhog's Day, but like what I don't understand is how I truly do nothing. I sit in my house mostly, and somehow I just feel like emotionally, it is so up and down, even though I'm like, nothing, I don't do anything. Like, I'm not that much is happening to me. I mean, the world is happening, and of course, we're all witnessing it from a distance, but it's insane how, like, I can have a really nice afternoon and then just be so sad a few hours later. But
I know.
What are your coping mechanisms besides drinking in parks?
I would say also eating in parks. The truth is, I think that I have been eating. I'm an eater. I have a healthy appetite. Like, I love food. I am eating to a, like, sort of a compulsive degree lately. I'm like kind of fully binge eating.
Same.
And I think it's just like, it's just to feel safe. It's just to feel comfortable, just to feel, it's oral fixation. So like, I don't smoke cigarettes, but I like literally recently was like, did I start smoking cigarettes? Like, I have something to do. I won't. Yeah. But I think being outside for me is like on it. I think that like my best memories of the past few months have been outdoors. So I just try to be outside as much as possible, but I am worried as it gets cold.
I'm jealous that you even go outdoors. I mean, it's aspirational because I have always been anti-outdoors, always been an indoors kid. And some of my best memories of the past few months have been when I'm inside.
I have to say that I have also been compulsively eating, and also like food in TV shows has become my pornography in quarantine. Like, I just want to see people eating stuff that I can't get, one of which is like really good diner food, because it's really only good if you eat it there, like inside a diner. You can't get takeout from a diner. Like, you can, I have, but it's like not that good. So the other night we were binge watching the new season of Fargo, and like in one scene, Dr. Senator, this character, is eating like a huge stack of pancakes, and I was like, yes, please take another bite, please take another bite. And then the next time they had a scene in that diner, his pancakes were hidden by a coffee cup, and I was like, move the fucking cup, just move the coffee.
That's so funny.
It looks so good.
I've been cooking. Do you cook?
Devin and I are both sort of learning how to cook in quarantine. You know how people post what they cook? Like, that?
Yeah.
Take a picture of what you cook. I have stopped doing it because what I cook is so elementary that I literally almost posted like butter pasta. Like, yeah. So what I did here was I melted butter
and
I put some Parmesan over it. And then you really have to stir to make sure it doesn't clump. And
the first two things she posted was like, so here's a salad and here's a salad. And I was like, okay, so not exactly cooking involved, but
they said it would take me, I'm not kidding, 15 minutes. And it took me 60 minutes, aka an hour. Julia, where did you go to middle school, and where did you stand like in the hierarchy in terms of like really hot, popular girls that I still like when I see like a really beautiful 13-year-old girl, I'm like, bitch.
Totally. I was not that bitch at all. I went to middle school. I went to Haven Middle School in Evanston, Illinois. Actually, you have had a guest who went to my middle school and high school.
Who?
Lauren Lapkus.
Oh my gosh. I love Lauren.
You guys, you won't get over this. She was my next door neighbor growing up.
This is so crazy.
I'm so sorry. She's so mean and cold and just cutting, manipulative. So I'm so sorry.
Manipulative. Yeah. At her core.
She's so lovely.
The nicest person I've ever talked to.
Literally before I knew that like actresses could be nice, she was nice to me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so you're doing a bit.
Oh, this is funny to you.
Oh, this is funny to you. You're going to try to be friends with me. Oh, you're going to get dinner from me. What do you want from me?
So yeah, I went to Haven in just outside of Chicago, just north of Chicago. I was not a cool girl. I was trying to think of like, what did I do in like, how did I spend my time? Cause like, honestly, in middle school, I didn't like have a lot of extracurriculars. And I'm like, what the fuck did I do after school? Like, I didn't play sport. I wasn't musical. I literally like hung out at Subway until like 5:30 and like 8 foot-longs every day, and then had dinner like 2 hours later. I feel like I was, I think I wanted to be really invisible. I didn't like have, I wasn't cool. I wasn't hot. I was just like, I feel like I was like normal, kind of dorky, like not, I just wanted to blend in. I did not want attention of any kind.
Oh, interesting.
Like, yeah, my style was very, I was like, I thought that like outdoor gear was very cool.
Oh,
like
no.
I used to wear Merrells.
Oh yeah, know? Merrells were great.
But did you like, but like not cool Merrells. Like,
not cool, like, yeah. I didn't think they were cool, I would say, but I thought that they were sturdy.
They were sturdy. But that's, I thought that that was a very, I wore like zip off cargo pants and like my old Navy, you know, performance fleece.
Nice. I think you might have been not as invisible as you thought you were.
Well, I was trying to blend in with the trees in nature. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to go from middle school to a hiking ground in minutes.
Devin, you had a little bit of like that horse girl energy.
You said I hung out at Subway until like 5:30. I thought you were going to say until like last year. And then I started like branching out.
It's so funny to imagine like all of these hipsters in Brooklyn are like writing at their cafes. And Julia's just with her laptop and her like Beats headphones on at Subway writing her screenplay.
She's like, wait, is there other places? Oh, okay.
But I forgot, that's a lifestyle. Like, I used to go to Rite Aid in New York after school and read every issue of the magazines that came out on Thursday and then go home after.
That's cool, though. Wait, so did you grow up in the city?
I grew up in Brooklyn, actually, and then I moved to LA for high school. So, yeah, but I was lame. Like, I was kind of lame. The word poser just started coming out when I was in middle school, and everyone wanted to, like, these bands, like the Vines and the White Stripes were coming of age when I was, I mean, coming of age. The White Stripes had released their first album when I was, like, 12. And so everyone
Jack
was really
White was
them.
Actually going through puberty when I was growing up. So
he still is. Have you seen his teeth? They're still growing in. And I was just trying to fake it and everyone could see it. So I was always called a poser. And I'd be like, fuck you, you're a poser. And
but everyone was a poser.
Of course.
Yeah.
They like, still what? Are.
Everyone's still a poser. We're all posers. But what 13-year-old, like, knows shit in and out, like, has it figured out? Like,
I thought I had it figured out.
Really? What'd you think?
I mean, as Carolina said, yes, I was a horse girl. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Yes, I fucked a horse. I'm not ashamed to say it.
I'm kind of ashamed to say it. When I was in middle school, I feel like the shattering of naivete for me was in high school. Like in middle school, I thought I was cool. I thought I was like pretty. I thought I was like, you know, had it going on. And even though I wasn't popular, like for some reason, like, I don't know. I just remember like being so much more able to enjoy life, even though we weren't like the coolest kids in school. But then in high school, I was like, oh, wait, this, my appearance is the only thing that matters here. And so I'm a fucked. But I love Pen 15, which Julia, we should have said sooner, submitted a incredibly exciting topic, which is middle school and the masterpiece that is Pen 15. I relate so much to Pen 15 because I did have two friends that it was kind of just like us against the world and like we did everything together. And so I think that is also why I felt like less concerned about popularity. Like it sounds like you guys were. So
I am still concerned about popularity.
I am too.
Julia, you wrote a piece in the Huffington Post about your freckles and having insecurities about those as a fifth grader. And
oh
was
God.
That sort of when you, how do you feel right now?
I
just bringing
can't.
That up.
I think it's very, that was literally from like 4 years ago. I forgot that I wrote it. So that makes me laugh because I forgot writing about freckles. What did I say?
You said some really offensive things, actually. I unearthed some stuff that, let's just say you're not going to get that SNL
Lucy
writing
Lose,
gig.
Freckles are fucking ugly. They're fake.
You're going to be cut from the cast. It was basically just about how you had this huge insecurity when you were young about having freckles. And obviously, now that we're older, we can see all those things are not true. I was very insecure about my height. I was very insecure about my hair. I had really curly hair when the thing at the time was like silk straight hair. And I was just basically like ironing it with an iron board and like putting any sort of gel. I gelled back my hair all the time. But yeah, it's just that age where you have to suddenly contend with your body. Like as a kid, you don't really think about it. And all of a sudden you have this thing that you have to sort of manage. And everyone's telling you to manage.
I think that I just felt, you know, it's just that age where it's like everything is bad about me. Everything is bad about me. I was like, I'm weird looking and these freckles are like only helping that. And I think that I was also just like, you know, I think one reason I like loved Pen 15 so much was because I was just like, I had never connected to like a character so closely to a younger version of myself with Maya. You know what I mean? I feel like that was such a specific and unique perspective, and just like being, you know, like a mixed Asian kid. And like my school was diverse, but I would say like almost all my friends were Jewish growing up. So I was just like, I'm different than my friends. And like my mom looks different than my friends. And so like, looking different and feeling like I had like very different dynamics with my mom in particular, like, which I think that like season two of Pen 15, like does such a beautiful and heartbreaking job at capturing just like, how your own self-loathing. And like, I think that like, they don't call, you know, I think for Maya and like probably myself, like weird, like internalized, like racism or like anti, you know, just wanting to be like an all-American Midwestern kid, like your white friends, but then like having a parent who's very different than that and being like, why aren't you like other people? And just like fully, it's like embarrassing now, of course, but just like, I fully felt that. So I just felt like, you know, my mom has a lot of freckles too, actually. So just maybe I was just like, I'm just so, just feeling so different. And of course, like even middle school, like just anyone at that age feels different and feels weird and feels like they don't belong, no matter how like perfect on the outside things seem.
I have so many friends who have expressed a similar feeling. And I think like, I'm so happy that this generation has Pen 15 and like has all these other shows, because I actually think that like some shows that came before our generation were more, even though they weren't like woke and the messaging was off, they had like more inclusion and like a little bit more diversity. But I feel like our generation of like teen shows was just so white, so skinny blonde. So I was just talking about Dawson's Creek to my boyfriend because he doesn't know anything about it. But like, I remember thinking like, oh, so Katie Holmes is like the like kind of homely girl next door who he like doesn't like back because like she's not pretty enough. Like, I remember thinking, wait, she's not pretty enough? Then like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? Like, So yeah, I mean, that's like obviously a minor problem, but just, I'm just happy Pen 15 exists.
I do think there's something to like what you kept saying, Julie, about wanting to be invisible and having anything that makes you distinct, we now sort of hold on to, especially in the age of social media. Like, look, I have this experience. But at the time, like you said, it's sort of like you're looking at anything that makes you possibly different and you want to like destroy it or be like, no, I'm not like, I'm cool, I'm whatever, like I am like other girls.
Just like other girls.
Yeah, yeah, just like all the other girls, and it's great. Did you have, what were your guys's most embarrassing, scarring middle school memories?
Oh god, I feel like just kids being really fucking mean.
The worst.
Like, I remember there was this kid, this guy who's like, I think he's like a club promoter now. And he's a QAnon bro, which is
great. Wait, Bob, I think I know him.
You know him?
You guys That's my dad.
No, just kidding. he called me dog. He used to call me dog face. And I was like, I don't know you, dude. Leave me alone. Like, I don't even know you. And he would just like walk by me in the hall and be like, what's up, dog face? And I'd be like, dude, you're also, Jesus. And this is the other thing. This is not a scarring thing, but this is just a tangent, isn't it? And I think that like Pen 15 captures it so well. Like guys who were like truly just also unattractive like me, I was like, you're also ugly. Yeah. Why do you have power?
I know.
And that like sort of captures just like how sexism starts so young. I'm like, dude, we're both ugly. This should be an even playing field. But because you're a boy, for some reason, you can be confident and like act this way. But and I can't, you know. So yeah, ugly guy calling me dog face and like girl. I think there was definitely some scarring like girl things in like sixth grade where like girls that I like thought I was friends with like suddenly became mm-hmm. popular and then were like, I can't. I have to be mean to you now because you're not in my crew. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how I like maintain my social superiority is by talking to you and treating you like a troll.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just feeling like betrayal of like friends who I was like, we hung out before and now you're too good for me. That feeling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So stressful. So. I know. It feels so, once in a while, it's so funny because I was not severely, I like wasn't in the documentary bully, but school became really stressful a few times because of situations like that where one of my best friends, when I started the school she was at, that dynamic played itself out exactly as you described. And all of a sudden she wasn't talking to me and she put my backpack in lost and found with two of her best friends. And so now whenever my mom was younger than a lot of moms, and so some of her friends, their kids came up and went to high school a lot later, and when anyone had a problem she was like, talk to Carolina, she was a really big loser, like she'll know what to say. And I was like, you're only, every time someone has a problem like that, I'm like, do not worry, you will be so funny. Like nobody I know who's truly funny had it really easy. And if they did, like, then I don't think they're funny. Then they're like Jake or Logan Paul or whatever his name is. Like, yeah. I'm just like, you're not funny.
Okay. I actually think he's a really good comedian, Jake Paul. So just.
Well, he's going to be on our pod soon. So Devin. Just stand by. Devin, what's your embarrassing story from middle school?
So I have so many and I almost had trouble thinking of one because I have so many. I have one from high school that is, I think, like my funniest, most embarrassing story, but it's not from middle school. But it was that I was like walking by the varsity men's tennis team playing tennis, and I was like, oh, I'm in like my sports gear, even though I had braces. And as many of the listeners may not know, I do not have the nose that I was born with currently. So I was actually looked like a completely different person. And so I was like walking and I was like, I think I look really good. And then I tripped, you know, when you, I don't even know how to describe it. I wasn't fully falling, but I couldn't stop like running in like a hunched over fashion because I was fighting gravity. So all the way down the hill, I was basically hunched over, like hands almost touching the ground, but also running. Like must have looked like an impression.
You're like the grandmother from what's it called? The Visit. Just running.
The grandmother from
the
Visit on cocaine is what I looked like because I was like sprinting. But when I was in middle school, I wrote this letter. So in middle school, I had constant crushes. Like my favorite, one of my favorite things about Pen 15 is how they like play that music when their crushes walk past and they just like become entranced.
So funny.
Because that was my constant experience. Like I was constantly obsessed with boys in class, and I had a crush on, like, the crush of the week was this kid Alex, and so I wrote him a letter saying like, I have a crush on you, like write back yes or no if you have a crush on me back. And he like put it in his binder, and I was like, okay, hard to get mixed signals. And then when I went to my next class, he was standing there and his face was like bright red, and his friend was like, ooh, you wrote a little letter to Alex, like, ooh, you have a crush on Alex. Well, he doesn't have a crush on you back, so like, whatever. And I was like, okay, I have to call my mom because I have a really bad stomach ache, so I actually can't go to class right now. And so, like, everyone have a great day. And it was devastating.
You do the grandma sprint walk down the hall.
So I actually have to half fall, half sprint back down the hill. Thanks. We'll be right back with more from Julia Shiplett. Tune in.
I want true romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to True Romance.
I have like the still to this day, like I think about this from time to time and do not know how I lived through it. But I had a crush on this guy. I think his name was Jake on he was on the boys water polo team. This was when after I moved to LA, I was on the girls water polo team. And I just wanted to have a crush. All my friends had crushes on the boys water polo team because we're always in the pool with them all the time. So it was this like charged sexual thing, even though I swear to God, girls water polo is the most unattractive sport of all time. You're wearing a helmet and like a leather one-piece swimsuit. You're so strong. My back was like ripped and it just wasn't like working for me. But I thought like, what the hell? I'll like this guy, Jake. He's really tall. They're all so cute. And so I stalked his MySpace all the time, like always on his MySpace, but he was too much of a jock to really post anything. But in his bio, it was like there was a link. And it said something like www.findyourcrushhere.com. Obviously, I clicked the link. It asks for some info. It asks for your name, for your email, your crush's name, and how many times you masturbate a week. So I was like, okay, my name's Carolina Barlow. Birthday, April 23rd. Email, frizzyfreak5@AOL.com. how many times I masturbate a week? 7. and I have a crush on, you know, Jake Philbin or whatever. I press enter. It says something like, and then you'll find out if your crush likes you back. Just because I was bored, I press enter. And it's like, haha, you've been tricked. We're sending all of this information to whoever's site you found this link on. And like the body, you know, when you, it's like someone threw lava on your chest. Like,
yeah,
heat suddenly overtook my chest. And I was like, no, 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 no. And my mom from the other room was like, what? What is it? And I didn't know how to tell her because obviously I didn't want her seeing the information. And so she was like, what? What happened? And I just kept on being like, no, no, this, no. Oh my gosh, no. And she was like, wait, what happened? And then she basically took the computer from me and was like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, who did this to you? She was like, that little prick, you know why he put it there? Because someone did that to him. And then it was just watching like it play out slowly. Like one of my friends from the water polo team was like, Jake's asking if I know who you are. Like, I think he has a crush on you. And I was like, I don't think it's that. And he was thankfully a really nice guy. So I don't think a lot, like too many people found out about it. But still to this day, I'm like, why did I have to put that I masturbate 7 days a week? Like, why did I have to? Why did I think it was normal? I know. I was like, let's see. This week, probably every day. So
this week, every day. Last week, twice. Average is about seven. Yeah. So you were a jock.
For a second, I went through a lot of different phases. I was really looking for a crowd to hang out
yeah.
with.
Guys, the horse girl crowd is always taking people. So just at any time you want to join the horse girl crowd, you can.
But I
don't want to fuck a horse. Oh, sorry, God. What were you saying, Julia?
I think our horse, I feel like being a horse girl, is that sort of regional? Because there was no horses yes. around me. Like, I didn't know horse girls growing up.
I think it's definitely regional. I think it's a huge New England thing. Like, if you grew up in Connecticut like I did or Massachusetts, I don't know the rest of New England, what is there, because I don't understand geography. But like, I think most New England places, you got ghosts and you got horse girls. And those are two haunting
those
things.
Two girls.
Those are only two kind. Two haunting types of things.
Yeah. I think I'd be more of a ghost girl than a horse girl, to be honest.
I understand. I understand.
Are you into ghosts or horses? There was one horse girl in LA, and me and my friend made fun of her all the time because she was so typical horse girl and she had hair down to like below her butt.
Okay. Can I get her number? Can I get her phone number? I was going to ask, what were you going to, you go ahead, Carolina.
I think I was going to ask the same thing you were. What were good middle school memories for you guys? Like, is anything brings you nostalgia?
I think that, like, so 6th and 7th grade, I think, were honestly just really hellish. And I think trying on so many different identities, trial and error of, like, I realized very quickly, I am not a jock. I am not athletic. I am not coordinated. Like, I forgot about this until you were talking about sports stuff. I remember try out. Yeah, you don't audition for a basketball sport, do you? A basketball sport. Yeah, this is how athletic I am. You know, a basketball sport.
You score a touchdown in basketball sport when you toss the volleyball.
Everyone was playing basketball. And I actually do think basketball is like very cool and kind of enjoy watching basketball now. But I'm also like, I'm like 5'3" now. In middle school, I was like so small and underdeveloped. And I just was so uncoordinated. And you just made me think of a memory that I think I buried, where I tried out for the basketball team and I have literally no experience. And like, we had to do all these like complicated, like dribbling and like shooting. And I was so like, I was comically bad. And I remember one of the girls being like, oh damn, she sucks. Like in front of the coaches, in front of like the other girls. And I forgot about that, but I think that's funny. But I think after like 6th and 7th grade, I think we're like trying on different identities and like trying to figure out what I was and what I wasn't. And then I feel like 8th grade was like kind of cool because me and my best friend Rachel, who I feel like was you know, the Anna to my Maya, mm-hmm. like very much 6th and 7th grade, it was like just the two of us trying to make each other laugh, her talking out of her butthole like Ace Ventura, like very much like I only cared about making her laugh. She only cared about making me laugh. But then we like started like expanding into like other crews kind of, and like becoming friends with like weird artsy kids and like sort of like punky kids, and just like starting, I think like when I was 13, I started to realize like, oh, like being a jock or like just sort of under, you know, we didn't call it basic back then. Of course, we didn't have that language yet, but just being like, there's different types of cool people and you can be like cool and weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just like starting to hang out with like Friday nights, like we're going to blah, blah, blah's basement and like, we know who's going to be there. And it was just like fun, like having like a mixed group of like boys and girls, like playing pool and like watching scary movies and stuff like that, that made me feel more like accepted. Mm-hmm. And just like having a little crew. Yeah, that's like what I remember. But also just like literally hours of basement time with Rachel. Mm-hmm. On AIM, like thinking that was fun, so much fun to like watch MTV, eat fucking Flaming Hot Cheetos and be for like 4 hours until my mom was like, you need to come home. Like that was the best.
That was the best. I know I heard a podcast interview once with someone and he's like a really successful writer. His name's Gary Jannetty. He's like a successful writer. So he was saying that, I can't remember why they were talking about this in the interview, but he was talking about like his piece of advice for any kid who feels like left out and like alone in middle school or high school is just to have one friend, because like that's really all you need. And like you can find one friend who can like get you through the hard times, like wherever you can find that person, like a genuine person. And I think that that's like what Pen 15 is all about, which is why it's so moving, is like it's true, like it becomes so like it's us against the world. Everything's scary. We don't even know what anything means. Like we're all trying to parse through like the stuff the kids were talking about on the bus. Like, did I say the right thing? Did I say the wrong thing? And I think it's the second episode of season two of Pen 15 with the witches episode where it starts out with Anna's parents are like fighting. They're getting divorced. They're like loudly fighting. And Maya like grabs her hand and like pulls her outside and this magical music starts and they're just running. I fully sobbed and then rewound it and watched it again and sobbed again because it just brought up so many memories of that same thing of like something dark happens that you can't understand because you're a kid and your friend is there and is like, let's just go do something. Like, let's go in the basement. Let's do impressions. That's how you survive. So I don't know why I'm turning into like a Lifetime movie.
I love it.
Soapy, like emo. I guess I was emo in middle school.
Oh my God,
now
you're
you guys
so
know.
Freaking emo. I didn't like have a person in middle school.
Okay,
really
so you should
was...
probably just leave the Zoom. I don't think you would understand.
I don't know if
no,
you have a
it really
now.
Was.
That was so mean, and I wanted it to be funny, and that just came off so fucking mean.
I guess I won't
that
be open anymore. On
that
the
was
pod.
A roast.
Wow.
That was a roast.
Olivia, get in here.
Our producer, Olivia.
Julia, our guest, quote unquote, is being mean. Exclamation point. No, I watch Pen 15 with envy because it's literally like when I found about what depression anxiety meant really when I was like 17, my initial thought was, oh, like seventh grade, like how it felt to be in sixth grade, like doom every day walking to school and like even the people you like are mean to you and you just have to accept it. I so felt that. And it was only in high school where I really got like, oh, this is what having friendship is like. Oh my gosh, I can count on these people to stick up for me if anything were to happen. Like I got into a huge fight with a girl in high school and all my friends had my back, even people I didn't know that well. And I was like overwhelmed with love. I was having like an MDMA like love experience for everyone around me. But I did in middle school, the good parts of middle school were centered. I wonder if you experienced this, Julia, because I was one of the only non-Jewish kids in my school in New York. And you said that you were one of the few in Illinois is where you're from?
Evanston.
Yeah.
In Evanston.
Where Mean Girls was filmed, right? I think.
It's where it takes place.
Where
her
it takes
parents
place.
Are professors at Northwestern. I think they filmed it in Jersey.
Oh, weird.
But it's supposed to take place in Evanston, yeah.
But did you experience bar and bat mitzvah season? because my bat mitzvah season was like that. Those were my Andy Warhol factory years. Like I partied so hard after the bar mitzvah parties. I remember thinking like, it's so sad that I won't be able to go to a party every single day of my life, because it was, I was at the time like a good dancer and I like had a few guys who I would grind with, and I put so much into my appearance at bar mitzvahs. It was really one of the only places like I felt comfortable and like popular, and where I would like first make out with guys and stuff like that. And it was so weird in retrospect. We were in like dimly lit like reception halls, and I was like fully grind like my like ass in guys' crotches in front of like everyone's parents, like just like a few feet away. I'm like 13 and fully like humping guys on the dance floor. But it was the best. That was really fun.
You were advanced. I feel like I was more like, like, you know how there'd be like, did you have bat mitzvahs with like the DJ and then like the dancers,
the high motivational dancers?
Like,
yes. Yeah.
Like I was the one who was fully like so absolutely not touching anyone's body at all.
No. You were literally like following the dancers.
I was literally following the dancers. Or like some of them, I went to a bat mitzvah that was at a roller rink. That was fun. That was like my best friend's one. So they weren't all like parties like that.
Yeah, I to the point where I started learning about like what made a good party, where if there was an after party in anywhere that was brightly lit or in the middle of the day, I was like, this isn't going to be fun. Like this place is, we're going to have a brunch after party. Like, I don't think so. I'm not going to grind.
I know these caterers are not great. You like knew the catering people.
I was like, this invite is shit. It needs to be thick paper. It needs to be weighted.
I remember feeling like kind of left out when, and I shouldn't say that like all the kids at my school were Jewish. There was like lots of black kids. There was all types of kids, but my crew was mostly Jewish kids for some reason. But I remember in middle school that I'd be like, I can't hang out. I have Hebrew school. And I'd be like, fuck, I want to go to Hebrew school.
Same.
Everyone cool at Hebrew school.
Yeah.
One of my best friends in just like middle school to high school years, he was in my sister's grade, and he at, when you're supposed to get your bar mitzvah at 13, but a few weeks before his bar mitzvah, as a joke in Hebrew school, he said God doesn't exist to another kid. His bar mitzvah was canceled and he had to do Hebrew school all over again.
That's so funny.
His parents were so pissed, like everything was set up. The rabbi just wouldn't bless it. And so when he was 16, I was like, holy shit, we're going to do another bar mitzvah. It was like everyone was so excited because at 16, we were going to go to another bar mitzvah and it was going to be off the hook. I was like, I have never been more ready. I cannot wait to get back in the scene. Like there's a chocolate fountain. Everyone was going loose because we were lacking even more inhibition. I was like, I've already made out already. I don't know what this bar mitzvah is going to show me, but it's going to be something new. Who are your guys' crushes
right now? No, I'm kidding. In middle school, like I said, different person every day. There was one boy who I'll call William.
I think he's gonna be okay if you use his real name.
I know, because like my school is so small. So the public school in my where I grew up was the school for like six different towns, because all the towns were so small that they didn't have enough kids for a school. And it still was like really small. So yeah, I think I could ruin a couple lives if I name dropped on here. But this boy that was like, I think just tall and funny and nice to me. And like 99% of boys in middle school, as well as in life, are not that. Like, I think he just would be like, hi, Devin. And I was like, okay, what? Like, I did not expect to fall in love this quickly, but like, this is what's happening. And I think he would quote Andy Samberg bits from SNL, and I'd be like, you're a comedic genius. Like, I don't know, like, you need an agent right now, because yes, okay, lazy Sunday, amazing. So what about you, Julia?
I was like texting my Rachel, my Anna, mm-hmm. like before this, being like, can you, because my memory is so bad that I was like, who was I into in middle school? And she was like, honestly, I feel like you like were kind of mean and scary to guys. But like, I was full Backstreet Boys girl, hardcore. For me, I think that even at age 12, I was like, I'm not going to date a 12-year-old. I'm involved with a 23-year-old man, you idiot. Like, Backstreet
Boy?
Kevin and Brian.
Great. Great
Kevin
choices.
Was the one who looks like Satan, right? Like, he has
no. He, do you mean
you
he looks sophisticated? He looks really sophisticated. Kevin?
He's like handsome.
He looks like a human Oxford shirt.
No, he doesn't.
He does. He's so like clean and crisp looking.
He was, yeah, compared to the other ones, compared
he
to
He looks
AJ
like John
and
Wick.
No, you're thinking of AJ, I think.
Oh, well, AJ was a nightmare.
But also John AJ Wick, who wouldn't want to look like John Wick, by the way? Hot guy with
a
dog?
1,000%.
Yeah, I guess he looks like John Wick. Yeah. But they were cousins. Kevin and Brian were cousins.
Right.
And Brian had a weak heart. I don't know if you knew that, but he did have some medical issues around his heart. And so I found that very like...
He has some preemie vibes.
He has some what?
Like preemie, like he might have been a preemie.
Preemie vibes? Oh my God. He might have. He might have been a preemie.
Carolina's hatred of the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, you're coming in so hot and mean with...
The Backstreet Boys. She is bullying the Backstreet Boys, and I don't know why it's...
Is this because I said you don't have a person now?
Did you put Nick Carter's backpack in the lost and found with your friends? Jesus. Go to the guidance counselor. You need help. Go look at the posters in the guidance counselor's office. You need help.
I haven't said something like mean like that in a really long time, so I'm like physically crying right now.
Okay, so Julia, thank you for being vulnerable and telling us about your true love's heart condition. And I'm sorry that Carolina shot it down like that.
Yeah, exactly. Preemie vibes. But like in terms of boys that I actually knew IRL or like, honestly, I feel like there was like a boy I liked who was so mean to me. And he started dating a girl who was someone I was friends with in elementary school, who then in middle school was like, no, you're not cool. And started being really mean to me. And then I think she knew that I was into him. And then she was really mean to me about that. So I feel like I was like, honestly, from a very young age, even if I did have crushes on boys, I feel like I had like Miranda energy as an 11-year-old where I was like, you are not to be trusted.
Amazing.
Also my dad, like I remember like me telling my dad, like when people were mean to me, especially boys. And he was like, you know what you need to tell them to do? You just got to tell boys at that age, if they say something mean to you, you just tell them to eat shit and die. And I really took that to heart and like told so many boys in middle school to eat shit and die. And I think that sort of like made me a little notorious in not a cute way. I think that now as I'm like older, I also realize, I don't think I understood it at the time because I don't, you know, you don't understand sexuality and like mm-hmm. middle school is so heteronormative already in such a like narrow way. But I feel like I also like had crushes on girls that I didn't realize were crushes where I'm like, they're just so pretty and like beautiful and cool. But you're like, I don't know what to do with this. Like,
yeah.
Energy. Yeah.
But you're like, but you still are like kind of creepy and stalky of them. But like, I didn't know what that meant, mm-hmm. you know, and I didn't act upon anything. But like, I think that's real too. And I like, yeah. want that to be explored on Pen 15, maybe season 3.
Fortune Feimster has the funniest bit where she talks about before she was out to her mom and how like when any of her best friends got a boyfriend, she would like be so bitter and just be glum around the house. And her mom would be like, Fortune, what's wrong? Why are you so upset they have a boyfriend? And she'd be like, because they're my best friend, mom.
It's true. I feel that. I feel that. Yeah. I mean, Fortune, I think, like, has known that she was gay since she was probably, like, 10.
Right.
But, like, I sort of felt that way, too, a little bit. I just think that I was, like, a late bloomer in life, too, where I was, you know, hoes before bros, where I was just like, I just want to hang out with my girls. And when girls would be, like, let's invite blah, blah, blah over, sometimes I'd be like, no, it's just us. And it wasn't like
girls' night.
It's girls' night. So I do like kind of remember feeling that intensely though, where like
right
I had crushes on boys, but like I wasn't like, do you feel like you guys were boy crazy?
Affirmative.
Oh, obsessed.
Oh. Affirmative.
I just wanted to spend, I think because of propaganda in society, I thought that that would be my solution to everything. Like, I thought like that was what I needed, was a boyfriend. That's why I felt uncomfortable all the time. And so I would just put myself in like guys groups. And I also, you know, with the Katie Holmes narrative, I thought the guys wanted like a tomboy, like, oh, you want a girl who's like into guys' interests. I can perform that. Mm-hmm. And so I would always just not say anything, was too nervous to say anything, and would just put myself in their vicinity until they literally be like, Carolina, leave us alone. Like, go home. I'm just sitting, not really invited into the table, but just sitting like slightly outwards while everyone's eating pizza. Like, hey, you guys need to walk home? I can walk home with you.
So did you relate, in Pen 15, do you relate to Maya when she sort of literally just follows Brant around like everywhere, into the bedroom, into like the gym, yes, locker room? Like that to me, I was like, this is crazy, because I would have never done that as a kid. That would have really freaked me out.
The only thing that I was like, was the hair pulling. But I also like, I had OCD in different ways as a kid, so like I did other weird stuff. But as far as the constantly like, well, I'm just gonna talk to him again, like I'll just talk to him again, like I'll just like, he just doesn't get it. But like, this did happen, it's not in my head, right? Definitely related. And then like I said, like in high school, then I completely like reverted back inside and was like, do not ever try to talk to a single person ever, ever, ever again. But yeah, I mean, I also related to Anna, too, in a lot of ways, but probably more so to Maya. What about you, Carol?
I think Maya, especially with the scene in episode one where she's like sick of playing like a kid and they find the cigarette and she like wants to be with the other cool kids and mm-hmm. smoke a cigarette. And I feel like, I mean, it went all the way up to high school, even college necessarily, where even college maybe, where I wanted to pull my best friend or whoever I was hanging out with into like the next room where something like exciting was happening. Like, as much as I loved them, I basically was like, okay, well, X, Y, and Z is going to be here. I remember I couldn't drive in high school. And so I would, my best friend at the time, I was like, hey, I have a really fun idea. Do you want to pick me up in Santa Monica and then we'll go to Malibu to this party? And she was like, do you want me to drive you to a party in Malibu? Like, what's going on? And I'd be like, oh, no, it'd be really fun. But I just constantly wanted to do something really, like, cool and quote-unquote and, like, hard and, like, be pushed into, like, a tougher crowd. And which is funny because now, like, if anyone says, let's go to a bar, I'm like, okay, well, let's think about it. Let's really think about it.
Are there going to be comfortable seats or is it standing room
only? Oh, my God. Is there a stool situation? Because I'm not going there. And do they have bar food or do they have food, you know?
I wish I was as badass as Anna, though. Like, I feel like Anna, every episode she tries a new skill and, like, becomes amazing at it and is, like, by the end, like, an expert in her craft.
I know.
Which I wish I could have been, like, at any point in my life.
And I think that when I watch, they're both so amazing. I think when I watch it, I was so drawn to Maya just because I was sort of fixated on, like, this is me. This mm-hmm. is like, you know, but, and her character is sort of a little between the two of them dominating, I would say. She's a little bit more alpha, I would say. Like, Anna kind of just like hangs back and she sort of gets along with everyone like super easily. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But I think to your point, yeah, she like, at the end of season two, you sort of see her have like her own storyline, her own arc that's like so cool. She's great.
They're so both those actresses are so talented. I can't even.
It's transcendent. It's funny, but it's I've never seen anything like it in terms of acting out this inner. The word inner child I'm using loosely here, but this thing that somehow still exists in us that we can at least still physically feel it and relate to it.
Yeah, I think like middle school is when we were all like so raw. Like, I just feel like they play into a time when our emotions were more powerful than they've ever been because of like hormones and stuff like that. And so I just feel like every episode I'm laughing out loud, but I'm also like crying. And like, it's just really genius. Julia, I wanted to end on asking you if you could give yourself, your middle school self, one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, that's such a good question. I would tell myself like earlier on that like just being different is cool. Being different is, and you know, that's like such a, that's easy to say now, of course. I just think I wish that I had like leaned into the things that went against the grain and like just have like owned it. I just am like, God, it would have been so much fucking cooler if I had just been like, fuck you, you're all boring and I'm into
eat shit and die.
Eat shit and die, losers.
Yeah.
I have freckles and I'm bad at basketball, but guess what? I can make jewelry. or something like that. But
where do you think
No, that's it.
Where do you think the transition came in terms of you wanting to be invisible as a middle schooler and then all of a sudden you sort of going into performing?
I mean, I didn't really start performing like honestly until my 20s. Like I didn't like I wasn't like a theater kid. Like I like did some of the school stuff, but I wasn't like a, and I did chorus. I'm not a good singer. Like I just didn't, I honestly feel like I always was like, I'm more of a writer. And in like high school, that kind of became like my, more of my thing where I was like, I want to go to journalism school. And I was like, you know, like student paper nerd. And like, that was like what I thought was cool. So I was always like, I have something to say, but I didn't think that like performing and talking would be my vehicle until honestly, like my mid 20s. And wow. So it took a long time. I feel like middle school me cannot believe what I'm doing.
I know. Isn't that cool? That's a really cool reminder. I Devin, love what would hearing you tell that. Yourself?
Well, I just want to say like, I love hearing that because I also was a late bloomer and it always, I think in that same interview I was talking about with Gary Jannetty, who was talking about like not getting his first big job until like his 30s. In the Instagram era, we constantly feel like this pressure of like, everyone's doing everything. Like everyone is doing amazing. And like, it's helpful for me to be reminded sometimes that like, sometimes it takes a really long time to find your stride of what you want to do and like what fulfills you. So I love hearing that as opposed to like, well, the second I could walk, I was dancing. You know what I mean, guys? I think if I could give myself advice in middle school, it would be probably to be less bossy and like less possessive over my friends, because I'm realizing that I'm like describing it like I had like these two amazing friends and it was us against the world. But also like, that was a stronghold I had. I was like, it's us against the world. And if you invite the other girls to your party, like, it's just the three of us, okay? Like, everyone's staying up all night, just the three of us, no one else. So I probably would have been, like, a little bit more supportive of my friends.
You still have that energy a little bit. I know. Not too much. No, it's not overly so. But when we're younger, I would be falling asleep at the sleepover. And Don would be like, you always fall asleep. Stay up. Hang out. And I'd be like, I'm so tired, Devin. She's like, okay, so you're going to sleep. Okay, you're going to sleep right now. All right.
I also was like, when Carolina was like, I got an amazing job and I'm moving to LA, I was like, you ruined my life. So I hope you're okay with that. Carol, what's your lasting piece of advice?
I would tell myself 804-322-221, and I wouldn't know what that means until this year when I unlock a secret bank account. Okay, didn't land.
Wait, I was so confused.
It was like a code of...
Oh, she's still in John Wick world. Okay, I get it.
Sorry, I'm still thinking about John Wick. If I could tell myself something in middle school, I would give myself the plot to John Wick and then I would write it before anyone else did, and then I would make $1 billion. I probably would tell myself that I will be funny one day. Like I feel like, and this is true for high school, this is true for college. And it's so funny because Molly Birch, who sings our theme song, went to college with me. And I just always... And I think this is society's fault. I think this is also just like imposter syndrome in general. But But I always just assumed everyone else was smarter and funnier than me, and I was lucky to be in the room. And so I thought, like, I literally remember telling my mom, like, oh my God, some of the guys I met at college, they're like geniuses. And now, no offense to them, but like, I'm not seeing that play out necessarily. And right. I thought I would be lucky to be married to someone funny and smart. I never thought like, okay, so that's going to be like your own thing that you go into. And I think that I wish more girls in general, what I'll tell the kids at my Carolina Barlow Charter School is that you're going to like surprise yourself, and the more unpopular, the better. I really do think that, like, the more pain you go through, the more formative that is. You become more of a compassionate human. And, like, we all know the popular girl who grows up because we've all been around her. And I was, like, I was popular in high school, but I wasn't, like, a bitch. I was just Ferris Bueller popular, I like to say. Like, I knew everyone.
Okay. But, humble brag.
Sorry. But, no, the girls who are, like, you know, popular in middle school, it's very specific kind of girl, and they you just didn't get put through the ringer. You just don't know how to you need to learn how to be tough,
and you peak early.
You peak early, and you think that sticking your tongue out is humor. Doing a goofy like face is like LOL, I'm crazy. That's that girl to me.
I know, but when Britney Spears does it, I do think it's really fun.
Literally anything Britney Spears does like absolutely makes no sense, but I 100% support.
I'm always behind her. Julia, thank you so much for coming on the pod. We so love your comedy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Do you want to plug anything before we let you go?
I mean, honestly, I don't know what my career looks like anymore. So
you can find Julia at your local Subway, usually until 5:30 p.m.
Until 5:30 p.m. And then I got to go home for dinner. Thanks so much, ladies. This was really fun.
This was so fun. Thanks for gracing the pod with your presence.
And that was Julia Shiplett. Ladies and gentlemen, Devin, you and Matt have only known each other through a terrible, horrific, inhumane presidency.
Correct.
Devin, now that Joe Biden will be in charge of the country starting in January, a lot of people want to know how that's going to affect your relationship with Matt.
Well, it's going to be tough because, I mean, we probably would have never met if it weren't for, I hate to say it, Trump being president, because we met at a political comedy show and a series of events post 2016 election led to us being together. I think the 2016 election got me, eventually was part of my decision to get out of a relationship that led me to be open to get into this one now.
Was the political event a Weird Al concert?
Yep. So it was a real Yankovic moment. And this person and Matt
Matt is actually Al Yankovic, but we've given him the pseudonym Matt. What would you do if I told you, like, I met someone, I met him on Raya. Oh my God. He's like, he's an actor. He's actually a comedian. And then was like,
and a lot of people say he's weird.
And then I introduced you and the pod to Weird Al Yankovic, and then slowly started turning on the audience of True Romance and was like, and for those of you making fun of the fact that I'm dating Weird Al in the comments, yeah, I'm dating Weird Al. And he calls himself weird so you don't have to.
Yeah. And all the fucking skanks get out of his DMs because he's taken. And yes, we both have the same hairstyle. And yes, it's hard because we have to share the curly hair shampoo. And I'm used to having the curly hair shampoo just to myself.
We give each other perms every morning. I can just see myself like elbowing Weird Al groupies. There is definitely Weird Al groupies, by the way. And we need to have them on the pod.
What did Beyonce say? I see them boppers in the corner. That's you at the Weird Al concert. You're like, I see those yankers in the corner. And you know what?
That's my text to you when I'm getting jealous at the Weird Al concert.
I'll be like, you, me, Al, in an elevator. Let's see what happens because I am going to Solange this.
Speaking of Beyonce, who is going to perform at Biden's inauguration? Lady Gaga?
Probably Gaga. I can't see Beyonce doing it because she performed at Obama's. And so I don't see her, like, no offense. Well, I guess because she would probably do it for Kamala, but Kamala walked out to Mary J. Blige. So I'm like, maybe she's a Mary J. Blige fan, and that would be an amazing inauguration performance.
Mary J. Blige singing No More Drama at the 2003 VMAs shook me and my family to our core.
One time I couldn't sleep because I had insomnia as a child, and I watched her True Hollywood Story, and I was like, I'm not old enough to be understanding what's happening.
Can you imagine if it's like a Michael Bublé?
If it's Bublé,
we're on a rough start.
It's fine. It's fine. Whatever he chooses, it's fine. It's
right.
It's not going to be like a Nazi, like NASCAR, like Third Eye Blind cover band, whatever the fuck
whatever
Trump
he
has
had in the house.
Cat scratch fever, whatever the fuck. So that's fine.
Oh, Bruce Springsteen. Sorry, I'm going to have more options later.
It probably will be. I can see Biden obviously like standing for Springsteen. The point of all this is to say it's a whole new world now that we have this giant burden of constant anxiety and fear and confusion and despair off of our shoulders. What are you going to do this week, Carol?
I am going to probably just do a lot of work, try to stay off my phone. I've been getting 10 hours and 7 minutes on average. My phone let me know that's not okay. That's just, I'm breaking my brain. I'm going to go on walks. I went on a walk for the first time this week. It was great. I drank a glass of water. That felt good too. I read 3 pages of a book. I highly recommend it. It was hard. My eyes were scrolling down the page as they would on a Twitter page. But I'm really going to try to maintain. I liked volunteering. I want to continue doing it. There's Georgia Senate races. There are runoffs in January 5th. They're extremely important. So I'm going to volunteer for that. But I'm also not going to do, you can't do all or nothing. You know, that's how I've lived most of my life.
Is it all or nothing at
all? Who do you think
all?
You are, my boyfriend, Weird Al? Please, leave the singing to the experts, girlfriend, and the comedy too. No offense.
No, Weird Al would do like, is it farts?
Fart!
Or no farts at all?
And I'd be like, Al, stop!
Al,
oh my
you're
God.
Like crazy. Like, Al, I love you, but you're actually like so nutso. You're
I would be
like
laughing
nuts.
Hysterically, and you'd be trying to laugh, and Matt would be like, I don't want to hang out with Weird Al in Carolina. And you'd be like, okay, she's my best friend.
I don't know if I would say that. I would probably
and he
be,
would
like,
be like, everybody poops sometimes.
And I'd be like, okay, that is funny. Like technically, but the way you're delivering it is just bumping me. We want to say, I love you, Carol. Thank you, Julia Shiplett, for joining us and for all the beautiful middle school nostalgia and trauma that she shared with us.
We want to get more kid listeners. We feel like there's not enough children that listen to the podcast. We want to be the Mary J. Blige Hollywood special for children.
Hollywood special, the E! True Hollywood special. Okay, so let us know if you want to be interviewed for our E! True Hollywood story, and we'll think about it. And until next week, may God rest our weary souls from this horrible election. And I'm going to be talking to my psychiatrist this week. Thanks.
I love you, Devin.
Love you. Bye.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance. It's true. True. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true romance.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them.
Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.